Welcome to Think Like a Dog podcast, where we explore dog behavior and psychology-based training to help your dog achieve their full potential. Welcome back to Think Like a Dog podcast. And today we have a different kind of episode for you guys. It's actually our first time doing this. And this episode was a video consultation that Millie did with a client, Abigail Taylor, who gave us permission to film her session. And it's a really insightful episode because Millie and Abigail discusses the challenges that she faces with her dog's behavior, including spoiling, resource guarding, separation anxiety, all of the things that most dog owners face. So Abigail sits down with Millie and she talks about her challenges. And when she first scheduled the consultation, these are the notes that she wrote. "I completely spoil my dog. He makes all of the rules. I have been so concerned with wanting him to be happy, and that has translated into me making him think he is in charge of me and my safety. He barks at dogs and people walking outside the window. He jumps on and barks at guests who come over. He resource guards me and will start fight with dogs who jump on me. He's very demanding of attention and treats. He's extremely intelligent dog who absolutely has the capacity to change these behaviors, but I have not had the tools or the knowledge to change my behaviors, which is ultimately the problem." I absolutely loved this session, just listening to it and the way that Abigail talks about her dog's behavior. And she really is knowledgeable on what she's doing wrong. So this episode, some of the takeaways here will be, you know, establishing boundaries to create a healthy relationship with your dog, setting realistic expectations, being consistent to create a behavior change. So all of these things Millie's going to discuss in this video consultation, and it is very relatable. So I think you guys are really going to like it. So here we go.
Well, okay, I read over your notes, but I always tell people, kind of give me your everything that you want to work on. Give me your version of things, and then we'll go from there.
So I don't even know where to start. I spoil my dog a lot. I
like that you're aware of that.
I know I'm 100% the problem in this dynamic. Yep. I had this idea that in order to give my dog like a happy life, I just needed to like cater everything to him. And I still a lot of the time do. Like I spend a lot of money on like enrichment, frozen stuff, treats, all of the things, bones, bully sticks, all of the things. And he does whatever he wants in the house. He has full reign, full control, and has a lot of really great habits. Like he doesn't ever try to run away from me. He is very good about staying next to me, close to me. He comes if I call him.
Cool.
Not all the time, but yeah, like we have a really good, he's very smart. And so but a lot of the things that I have issues with are when somebody comes over to the house, he will bark and jump and want all of the attention. And he does it with me. He demands attention. Like he will come and he's a smaller dog. He's like 18 pounds. So he will sit on my lap and put his paws on my chest and his face is right here. And he licks, and he will lick me until I start petting him. And he does it with guests. If somebody's sitting on the couch, he goes and he jumps in their lap and he puts his paws on them. And he's like, "No, I'm here. You came here to see me." And so he'll bark at things outside of the window. Not that big of a deal. I work from home. We've just gotten kind of good at, he's not always in the room with me while I'm working from home. He will go and sleep on the couch or on my bed.
He used to always be in the room with you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was a problem if he wasn't? Or did you ever ask him to not be before?
No. But he wouldn't if I asked him not to. Like, if I were to shut the door and not give him the option, he would be not okay with that.
Okay. If you see me looking this way, I'm taking notes. I'm not just like working on something completely different.
And he will bug me for like treats or bones. Like in the morning, he will sit at the specific spot right where I can see him, and he'll like whine at me until I get up and go to the freezer and get him something out of the freezer. And I've reinforced that behavior because when he does it long enough, I'm like, okay, fine. You know, you win. He also does this, he demands just a lot of attention, and he does this thing where he'll take his ball and he'll put it places where he can't get it. He'll roll it under the TV stand, under the bed, and then cry for it. So I have to get up and get it for him. And then he just rolls it right back under the bed.
Okay. Okay. Your main issue is resource guarding though, right? Is that your main top, your like the biggest thing that you want to focus on? Or is it just like you want just an overall better relationship with him?
I think I want an overall better relationship. the resource guarding, so he's very protective of me when it comes to other animals. So other dogs coming close to me, he doesn't, if they jump on me, he doesn't like it. He kind of like, if there's other dogs around that are playing really hard, he goes and tries to break them up. Like he feels like it's like he is the keeper of the peace.
Yeah, he's the sheriff.
Yeah. Okay. And even if like I have somebody over and they hug me, he comes up and he starts barking. He's like, no touching.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like you know all of the areas that are reinforcing all the behaviors that we don't like, or at least, I mean, probably you didn't mind those behaviors before, right? So are you just seeing it now from a different point of view and that's why you're wanting to shift things, or are there like certain goals you want to reach?
So, I used to have a partner and we split up. And so now it's just me in the home. Mm-hmm. And so all of the responsibility of taking care of him and all of the attention has landed on me. I think that's why it's become more of an issue, because I could sometimes be like, right, I don't want to deal with him right now. Like, can you take care of him? And I realized just like, and I have so much guilt with leaving him home alone at all. It stresses me out because I'm worried, oh my gosh, he's home, he's so sad. Why did I get a dog if he was going to be alone? And so I just, the whole relationship dynamic needs to change on both ends. And so my goals are really just figuring out how to have those boundaries and figuring out, like, I would love to work on having a place and just changing that dynamic so that he doesn't feel like he's in control of my safety. Kind of like the stuff that I've listened to on the podcast is like, I've given him all of the decision-making power and I need to take that power back.
Yeah. I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing is that in order to get to a healthier relationship, and tell me if I'm wrong, this is a big leap, but it sounds like you are looking for somebody to relieve you of the guilt, to help you with the perspective shift, right? Because it sounds like you're like, I'm aware of all of this stuff, but I need to talk through why I should not do these things anymore in order for my body to not do these things or not allow these things to get to a good relationship with him.
Yeah, 100%. Yes.
Okay.
Because, and I've been looking for some way, somehow to get validated that it's like, no, it's okay if your dog's home alone and it's okay to do these things and you're not like doing something wrong.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, I'm so excited now. I was excited before, but this is my jam. Okay. The shoes are coming off. Crisscross applesauce. Okay. So let's talk about the perspective. Let's first go with, because I'll take a step back first. We could absolutely start talking about crate training. We could start talking about place work. We could talk about the power loop and how to get him walking next to you all and all of these things. We could ask all of these things. But the one thing that I loved about what you wrote is that you are noticing the little patterns that you're creating and you're aware that they are actually leading you in the opposite direction of where you want to go. So we have to figure out how to shift the mindset behind you who's initiating or at least allowing some of these patterns to happen, right? So the leaving him by himself thing, do you have, or does he have a history of separation anxiety, or is it you just, it's more you have separation anxiety?
I think it's me. Like, I feel guilty about leaving my dog home. And I grew up with dogs. My dogs growing up were never, they were outside dogs for the most part. Like, and I, for some reason, feel I've created this big guilt. And I think a lot of it is because I got him right before everything was quarantined. So I got him and then I was just home with him all the time. And then I started working from home. So now I am just kind of home with him. And so it's, but he doesn't, he's not crated when I leave. He's never chewed things up. He doesn't have accidents. He, for all intents and purposes, probably just like sleeps. But for some reason, I feel like he's home sad.
Okay. We'll start with this mindset. There is no relationship on the planet that can have zero boundaries and still be labeled healthy, right? Like any human to human relationship that is boundaryless is a toxic relationship, or somebody's being taken advantage of, or somebody's not respecting somebody, right? Like it's something that people go to therapy for, right? Or it's something that will end relationships.
Well, and so I'm a therapist, so I say these things all day long.
I know this
is true.
Yeah.
But
you can't apply it to him.
No.
Okay. Yeah. That's like, this is one of my favorite topics because it's all of those things that like we will pick and choose when we are going to treat our dog like a human almost. Right. So we're going to treat him like a human and let him have access to everything in our house. Right. Basically like we would a roommate. But we're going to stop treating him like a human the second he gets rude with that space and he jumps on our lap or he, you know, doesn't let anybody else near you. Right. Those would be things that you would not allow another human to do to you. Right. You know, we're going to treat him like a human and we're going to make sure that we are respectful to him, but we're also not going to treat him like a human. And we're going to assume that this dog needs us to be around at all times. And he doesn't, right? Like, and that's kind of like a shock to people's ego sometimes is that like, don't get me wrong. You are a big part of your dog's life, but your dog's life shouldn't stop the second that you walk away. Right. And it sounds like he's probably exactly what you said, sleeping all day. So he's not bothered by it. So we have to get over this whole idea of he's home and sad, even if he was, so what? Right. Like you have to live your life. There is, I mean, you know, this, there's feelings and then there's facts, right? So just even if he was sad, that doesn't mean that you, it's healthy for him or for you to be home all the time. And, mm-hmm. Like I said, you know this, but as long as those feelings of like, oh no, he's home and he's sad, aren't changing your behaviors, aren't, as long as that's not your thought process and you're like, well, then I won't go. Is that the case? Or is it just like, this sucks while I'm gone? Or are you changing 50-50. Your decision making? Okay.
Like there was one time recently where I was going to go vacuum my car out. Like I was going to be gone for just a second and then I was going to come back and take him. And sometimes, not all the time, sometimes when I open my garage door, go to get my car, I can hear him cry for a second. And that happened. And then I was like, you know what? No, I'll just, instead of vacuuming out my car, I'll just go and take him and we can go do something together instead.
I mean, don't get me wrong. That's common, right? Like this morning I brought one of my dogs with me to work and not the other. And yeah, I felt bad, but I haven't thought about it since I left, right? I have to be confident enough in the fact that I am, I know I provide my dogs a good life, right? But the problem is that it sounds like your life with with him is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So then the only value that you do have in your relationship is those times where he's on your lap, because it sounds like you can't bring him places without a reaction, right? So your life is, the value in your relationship is based on these unhealthy behaviors. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we switch those, we actually open up our entire life and you've got a dog, because he's small, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not, yeah. And he's not like, you know, it's not like, you know, he's going to pull you down in the street. There's, you have a whole life you could live with this dog, but it's happening on the couch right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that, that's, you're kind of screwing yourself and him out of a better life by not shifting these things. Right. So, I mean, have you tried since listening to the podcast, having him not on furniture?
No, I've listened to the podcast and I'm like, I've taken all these notes. I'm like, these are the things I need to do and change. And then I was like, I'll just wait until I meet with her before I start.
So were you like a little part of you, or probably a big part of you last week when I had to reschedule because I was sick? You were probably like stoked.
I was, yeah. I was like, oh gosh, okay, I get one more week. And I'm worried that when I start to implement boundaries and all these things, I'm so worried that he's going to be like, what did I do wrong? Like, what are you punishing me for? And I have like, I project onto Bear that he is this like complex, like human with all of these things, like, and he's probably not, but I stress about it.
How do I want to answer this? Okay. I can't alleviate this whole idea of he's going to sit there and think, what did I do wrong? He might. So what? But that's not because he did something wrong. That's because you set an expectation that you could not fulfill for the remainder of his life. So at the end of the day, you are the one living in the reality. You are the one with the information. You can't go to his reality. Right? Like your version of reality is the correct one and has to be stronger than his. So even if he gives you, you know, that face of, oh my God, what did I do wrong? You always let me on the couch with you. You have to be very aware of, I know what I want to create and I know that this is necessary to get to that step. You might not know that, but you've got to trust me on this, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's where you truly start and you step up and you become that leader by making those choices that maybe they don't understand, they don't agree with, but are for the greater good of him. Right. I mean, it's to benefit him in the long run. That's where you have to go of like, this is for you. It sucks right now, but this is for you. It sucks right now, but not because of what I'm actually asking you, but because of the expectation that I have set. Over the last time, I mean, you've had him since he was a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the last, what, 4 years you've had him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got 4 years of associations, of patterns. You know, I think if you change the pattern anyway, right? Like you change the pattern in any, whether it was more structure or less structure, there would be confusion because it's a change.
Yeah.
You know, so does that make sense?
No, it does. And I know that these changes are going to, like, I'm excited about our relationship changing and us being able to do more and different things. And because I will be able to do more with him when I'm not worried that he's going to start a fight with a dog. If I go to a friend's house and they have a dog and he's there, like, there are a lot of things that I just know I'll leave him home because
it's too hard.
Because if I take him somewhere, then all of my attention is then on him and what he's doing in this place.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. I mean, I think this is going back to one of those like choose your hard kind of thing. It's hard now. It's hard now, but it's different. You know, the hard is different. It's, you know, you're not able to go out and do things with your dog without some sort of understanding between you. It's hard for him now because he thinks he is responsible for an entire human. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to teach him to get off the couch. It's going to be hard to teach him to crate train him. It's going to be hard to do all of these things that ask him to rely on you to lead when he spent the last 4 years leading. So it's absolutely, I am never going to tell anyone, I am not naive enough to go, well, just do it. It's hard. It is hard work, right? Like, it's not a simple thing I'm asking. I'm asking you to basically give up the relationship with your dog as you know it, right? And I'm asking you to trust me that there's a better one out there. But I'm asking you to trust me over your dog who you've lived with for 4 years, looking at you like, Mom, I want to come on the couch with you. Of course. Why wouldn't that be hard? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand I never get offended when people are like, I can't do that. I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. Why would you believe me over, you know, your dog who's trying to manipulate you into getting back up on the furniture?
Well, and he is so good at it. He can get whatever he wants. He truly can. He's so good at it.
Can I ask you, are you like that, like in all of your relationships, or do you give boundaries really good with humans?
I'm great with boundaries with humans. Okay. And this, like, my relationship with my dog is something I talk about in my therapy with my therapist all the time, because,
yeah.
And like, if we get into the weeds of it, I have like projected little myself onto Bear, and I'm like, I just want to give him the best life possible. I want to, you know, I want him to want for nothing. I want him to never have a bad day or never be bored in his life. And it's turned into like a mess.
Well, 'cause it's unrealistic. Right? Like, it's not serving. If every day is the best day, then no day is a good day, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's just life then. So yeah. On top of, it's not preparing him for the inevitable, which is something's going to stress him out. Something will inevitably upset him or stress him out, no matter how much protecting you try to do, no matter how much you try to like make his world this rose colored world. There is going to be a bad thing that happens to him, or at least perceived from him as a bad thing. But living the life the way that you have, you're not preparing him for those things. You're teaching him to expect the best in every moment. And then now he won't know what to do when not the best happens, which is ideally look to you, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think when it comes to comparing kids and dogs, because I think, and the reason I asked you about that is because a lot of people who don't give boundaries to their dog either tend to do the same thing with humans, or they're the complete opposite, right? So they like give too many boundaries with humans, and then with their dog, they give zero. And, you know, I think when it comes to comparing the two, kids and dogs, I know as a kid, as much as like I was confident and, you know, opinionated, I still required somebody to tell me what to do to keep me safe. Like, I wouldn't own a business right now if I didn't have parents who gave me boundaries growing up. I wouldn't be married to a good human right now if I didn't have parents who gave me boundaries growing up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's how you build and create not only a healthy relationship, but an upstanding citizen of the earth, at least for humans, right? So it's all like, it sucks in the moment, but in the long run, it's to alleviate stress from them. And you know that. It's just a matter of like, now we have to come up with a plan that is, that works for you, that is doable for you. Because I could tell you, let's do it cold turkey right now. And if you're the kind of rip the band-aid off kind of girl like I am, then you'd do it. But right now we have to figure out, like, if I tell you, hey, no furniture and let's get him crate trained, are those things actually going to happen? Or are we going to start it and then he's going to manipulate you back into having him on the couch?
I would love to tell you. I think that this is something that I want enough, and I feel like I have realistic like knowledge of how hard it's going to be. I want to do it. I think I can do it. I need
you
to know where to start.
You absolutely can. Yeah, you absolutely can. So let's just not baby step it, but let's do it at least gradually. He's never been in a crate.
Other than
in
like
his life?
Maybe when he...
How do people do this?
Well, like right now, even, because so when he used to get groomed, I think that they would have him in a crate there. But now I do a mobile groomer who comes to my house because I didn't like him being in the crate at the groomer's.
Is it more expensive?
I thought it stressed him out. Oh my gosh.
Is it?
He's an 18-pound dog and it's like $150 to have him groomed.
So I always have short-haired dogs that I just have to bathe. Mostly because I feel like the brushing thing is so hard, and then I would feel really guilty if they were matted and all that. Okay. So, are you willing to get a crate?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I'm willing to get it. I'm just not willing to put my dog in it.
okay. And what size crate should I be getting?
I know you posted a picture of him on the thing. Let me look at him.
I can
He's little. He's a little guy.
Show him. Come here.
Look at him in his little tennis balls.
I don't. That was his birthday picture. He loves those balls. Come here. He was sleeping, but I'll pick him up so you could see. I mean, he's not very big.
Oh, he's a little guy. he's like, put me back down.
I know, he's like, I was just sleeping.
Yeah, he's like, Mom, I'm still asleep. You can probably do... let me look. You definitely don't need the 42-inch. The 36-inch might be too big for him. I would do the 32-inch. Let me just do this. Or the 36. I think you could do either.
Because I know that there is... And I don't know if this is just with potty training, but there is such thing of like, if the crate's too big, then it's not.
Yeah. It's mostly for potty training. Absolutely. For potty training. Cause you don't want to give them a bedroom and a bathroom. Right. So if you give a little puppy a chance to go to the bathroom in the corner and then sleep in the other corner, it takes a lot longer to potty train. But I mean, a lot of dogs have crates bigger than they would like need. You can probably, if he's potty trained and you're not worried about that at all, do the 36 inch. Cause I also want to start with having you, one of my favorite sayings in dog training is the best training plan is the one that the client will actually do. So we're going to start small, right? Which is, I just want you to feed him in his crate twice a day. That's it. Right. So we're not even going to go to overnight over, you know, within the crate. We're going to do twice a day feeding in the crate, and he has to be in the crate for an hour in the morning, an hour in the after or in the evening. Do you feed him already twice a day?
He free feeds.
Okay. Well, we're going to do two birds, one stone, right? Okay. The podcast has done such a good job of like having it like breaks the ice for me because people know. Right. Before they even jump on the video consult, they're like, he free feeds. I don't have to even say it and nobody has to get mad at me anymore. They're already mad at me.
And he has this little toy that I got him even where it's like, he goes and taps it. And then from this other gadget, like three food pellets will come out and then he has to go like back and forth and back and forth.
That's not a bad thing. Is it every night that you're using that?
Yeah, but then I also have just a bowl of food out as well, just in case he didn't want to have to do that. But I could use that and you... Because sometimes he's not in the mood.
Right, right. Sometimes he doesn't want to press the button, so there's other food. I just like it because you're already laughing at yourself. No, you can hear it in your voice. Okay. How do we feel about going to structured feeding? Because that is tough love.
That's fine. I can do the structured eating. I think he's really going to resist it. I think he's going to be hungry for a while, but eventually he's going to eat.
Yeah. And I think... Yeah, he's definitely going to resist it. Don't supplement with other food. Don't supplement with like treats or human food or whatever, because you're banking on the fact that he's going to get hungry enough to eat when it's down.
I do probably at least once a day give him something. I have like these little, it's like this ice tray mold, and I will fill it with like wet food and like pumpkin and whatever stuff, and then it goes in this little thing and he has to lick it out, or I have like Kongs that I'll freeze. So should I stop with that?
I would. Yeah. Okay. Just really to, I mean, just for now, just until he's on, you know, structured feeding, because he's also going to resist a little bit more because he's also, you're going to feed him only in the crates. Mm-hmm. It's going to help you and hurt you at the same time. One, it's going to hurt you because it's a new-ish thing for him. And he's going to be confused by it and probably not think about eating, but we're going to give him, like I said, we're going to baby step this. We're going to give him an entire hour to eat the food in the morning and an entire hour to eat the food in the afternoon, or in the evening, whenever you normally feed him. So the way it's going to help you though, is that he's not going to be able to walk away from the food, right? So it's going to really kind of, it helps with puppies a lot. So getting puppies to focus on eating, it also helps going from free feeding to structured feeding to getting them like focused on, hey, the food is right in front of you. You can't go take a nap by the window right now. It's eating time. So we'll do that probably. I mean, we can do an hour for a week and then go down to 30 minutes the next week. So he has to eat in 30 minutes, and we're going to eventually work our way down to 15 minutes.
And that's the only time he's going to be in the crate?
Well, no. When we go down to 15 minutes, or now, we could do that now because you work from home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why don't we do a middle of the day nap time for no reason in the crate too? Just no food, no nothing. Like we're just, I mean, he can have a toy to, you know, play with, or like a bone to chew on, but nothing like edible, obviously, while we're trying to get him to eat when you feed him his dinner. Just an hour and a half, 2 hour in the crate in the middle of the day, no reason whatsoever. For right now, I mean, if you want to, if you're ready, I would say, yeah, go ahead and put him in the crate overnight. The only thing that I would advise against until we know how he is putting him in the crate while you're gone. Cause we don't know if he's going to freak out. We don't know what he's going to do. And I don't want that to happen while you're gone. I want to make sure that if he's going to bark or he's going to do whatever, like, okay.
Oh, I know what he's going to do. He's going to freak out. He's going to cry. That's what he's going
to
do.
And that's fine. It's just more like, I don't want him to try to break out of the crate while you're not home, right? And potentially hurt himself. Yeah. So until we get him comfortable in the crate, at least, we're not going to use it when you're not home. Now, a lot of people, and it is true, we'll tell you to not let them out of their crate while they're crying. The problem with that is that when I tell clients that, what happens is they go, well, it's going to take him an hour, 2 hours to stop crying. So, and I have to leave in whatever amount of time. So I'm not even going to put him in the crate because I know he's not going to calm down by the time that I'm out or I have to go. I have a lot more success with just building up routines. Right. So setting a timer on your phone of, okay, you've got an hour to eat your food, or okay, it's middle of the day nap time. You've got an hour and a half to stay in the crate. Doesn't matter what you do in there. If you're screaming, barking the whole time, plus it helps with your mindset too of, I only have to last for, you know, 28 more minutes or whatever. And then I can take him out. So it's not about whether or not he's screaming or crying. It's more about just getting him used to a routine of every single day this happens. Now, obviously, if he is screaming and crying, you know, that's more so for like puppies in the middle of the night when they are screaming and crying and somebody comes and always lets them out of the crate. You definitely don't want them to learn that that works. But at first, I feel like it's more about building up patterns and routines because he's going to cry. Of course, he's going to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he? It's confusing.
And so when I start this like hour in the morning, hour at night, and then eventually during the day, what should I be doing? Should I not be like
nothing different? Nothing different. So, but if you want to be in the room, not be in the room, go take a bath, take a shower, you can walk through the room, you can clean the house. There's nothing that's off limits. I want you to behave as if you would normally. Another thing is don't whisper, right? Don't, if he does fall asleep, don't make it like, okay, everyone be quiet because the dog is asleep. You want him used to the end goal for the crate, right? Is for him to be able to know, I am safe in here. I can observe my surroundings and know that none of this has to do with me, right? I can observe. I don't have to interact. And I'm safe. Now, our end goal is that he gets to do that in the middle of a party, or if there's nothing going on, or if there's a bunch of dogs, and it doesn't matter, right? Like, we in our day camp, we've got 25 dogs out and a couple in crates, and those dogs that are in crates are watching other dogs play, you know? So but they're calm because they were crate trained correctly. So don't tiptoe around him. So just live your life as normal.
Do I like not look at him, acknowledge him, say anything to him?
My response for that is always, don't be weird about it either way. Just don't be weird about it, right? Like, you can say, hey, what's up, but don't be like staring him down the whole time, but also don't make like a big show of ignoring him. Just don't be weird about it.
I'm gonna, I mean, if you're going to
I think that might be the only I think it's the only time I've ever gotten that response, and it's my favorite response. Okay. You're like, but I am gonna be weird about it. Okay, so maybe then we get him a crate cover as well. So then that way when he's in the crate, we cover the crate and he can't see you being weird about it.
Okay.
Right? Because then that way you can be weird and it doesn't affect him.
I don't know why that gave me so much more anxiety of being like, but then he can't see. Like, but then he's, I don't know.
Keep going.
He's nothing to look at.
Okay.
I don't know, that feels like worse to me for some reason.
I really want you to rationalize this yourself, because I think that you can, but I'm going to give you the dog side of it. One, they're denning animals. Okay. So a den is not an open crate, right? It's a closed area, dark area, small area. So it's instinctual for them. He's going to do everything in his power to make you believe that it is not instinctual for him, but you got to work through that. Other side of this. Have you never had a bad day where you just wanted to be in a dark room by yourself with nobody talking to you? Right? Yes. Like a bubble bath where there's nothing happening.
But was in that this a punishment? In this vision, Bear's there during these things.
What if, though, in Bear's vision, you aren't there? What if Bear needs a bubble bath time to just chill and process and not have to take in any information?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's negatives to both, right? So, you know, if your dog is only calm in the crate when it's covered, then your dog isn't learning how to be calm while also observing things, right? But there's also a negative to a dog who can only be calm while observing things, because then that dog feels like they need to, on some level, be looking at everything. So he should be able to do both at the end of the day, but in order to protect him from your weirdness, right, we're going to, I would say, cover it. But if you feel like that's going to make you even weirder and constantly be like looking and checking, then don't. And just, I mean, eventually it'll be normal for you and you won't be as weird.
I'm going to get the cover, because I think if there are, I want him to be able to get used to both. I think if I don't have it covered, it's going to be hard for me to not try to be like, it's okay. Like, just,
I mean, you're going to do that though. You're gonna, and so what? And that's where I'm very big on my, as long as you are doing that hour for the food, hour and a half to 2 hours in the middle of the day, hour for food at night, and ideally overnight if you can do it, right? And if you start doing overnight, just keep doing overnight. Don't go back on that. But that's where I'm like, as long as you're doing that, eventually it's going to get more normal for both of you, because you are, you're going to do that. You're going to say it's okay when he's whining. It's going to come out of you and you're not even going to notice that it did. So what, right? Like you can't take it back. So I think the crate cover, having it as an option will help, because there are some too that will, I think I'm going to send you an email after our session today. And it's going to have a link to our session summary site with a ton of other information, more links to different crates that we recommend, everything, right? And crate covers. One of the crate covers that I really like have like a mesh top to it. At least the top half of the crate is mesh, or the cover is mesh. So then that way, if the dog is standing, they can see out of it. But if the dog is seated or laying down trying to rest, the dog can't see out of it. Plus you can see in it too. So that might be a good kind of halfway point for you. How do you feel about doing it overnight?
I know that that's going to need to happen. And also the crate, I know that you don't recommend it being in the bedroom. My options for where the crate is are my living room is the, like, living room kitchen area is the only place that I, if it's not going to be in the bedroom, that it could be.
Okay. Are you in an apartment? Mm-hmm. No. Okay. So if he cries all night, it's only going to bother you and not your neighbors. Great. Mm-hmm. So then, yeah, let's get him as far away from you as possible. So then that way you can sleep through the night.
Well, I won't. It's
you won't, but you definitely won't if he's crying right next to you, right? And if you have to like get up out of bed, go into a whole different room. Do you have? So you said it's a one bedroom.
So I have. This is my office that I use for like my therapy sessions, and then I have a guest bedroom.
Okay.
Which I could move some stuff around. The crate could be in there. Where I put the crate. Where should I put the crate, I guess? Got it. Where is the best place?
My preference, and this is just my preference. There's benefits to a bunch of different places and obviously caveats and exceptions to every rule. I like them in the living room. Both of my dog's crates are right next to my TV in my living room. They can see when people walk in the front door. They can see when I get home. Not because I want them or they feel like they need to, but because I want to make sure that my dogs can rest in the crate regardless of what's going on around them. And it's a kind of a common ground area thing, right? And it's close to where I keep their food and they eat in their crates. So it's just easier. Now, when my older dog was a baby, he was crated in the guest room with the door closed just because he really had trouble and still sometimes does have trouble chilling out in the crate when he feels like he needs to be involved in something. So that helped him when he was a puppy a lot, sleep through the night, and you know, it helped us with potty training and all that. But I love them in the living room, but there are some people that have to have their dog in the basement or whatever. I mean, I don't want the crate to mean you're banished. So I don't want it to be, you know, somewhere that nobody ever goes, like the garage. But I definitely, there's benefits of having them in a room by themselves. So it's like an extra layer of protection, but there's also benefits to having them in the living room.
Okay. Cause I think I'm good with him being in the living room.
Okay, good. Yeah, I would do that. I mean, for overnight, I know you said it's going to have to happen eventually. You might as well do it, right? I mean, I think our big, so going back to like our overall goal, if we are dealing with a dog who has resource guarding problems, a little bit of leash reactivity or no?
Not really. He just doesn't, like when we go on walks, I just kind of let him, I have a retractable leash. He can kind of go, I just follow him, but he's not reactive on a leash. He's totally fine on, because he's just getting to do whatever he wants.
Okay. So our main goals is making sure that he can go and do more things with you, right? While also not being reactive to other dogs or feeling responsible for you. Correct? Mm-hmm. Right?
And just him not feeling like he has to be, like that I have catered to him all day, you know, like not feeling like he has to be the center of attention, has to always have something going on, always doing something, like changing, yeah, not, I guess, just the.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's more, you've sort of already said it, but I'm going to say it kind of a little different, but just the skill of being able to cope with being alone, right?
Yeah.
The skill of being able to do nothing. Those are absolutely essential to your goals. Because if you want to bring him with you more places, he needs to be able to stay calm in those places. And if he can't just do nothing at home without being completely exhausted, he's absolutely not going to do nothing in a new environment. So, I mean, to me, if those are our end goals, and I love an end goal of just a overall healthier relationship, I would say your two biggest things that I would want to focus on now are crate in place. We'll take care of the leash walk in a little, you know, maybe once this gets to be more routine, we'll talk more about more interactions, but I would say crate in place are your big ones. But place also includes no furniture. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it needs to happen, right? Like,
I don't want to throw too much at you, right? So if you're like, okay, I want to just take care of the crate stuff and get used to that, and then maybe do an hour of place work, but he's still allowed on the couch until I see you next, and then we'll build up from there. Fine. But then there's a lot of people that are like, no, tell me everything that you want. Like, tell me the next 5 steps and let me do them all right now.
Yeah. I'm ready to make as much progress as possible, okay. I think.
Okay. Then, yeah, I would say place is his default resting space in the house. So unless you have more questions about crate, I'm going to go over place.
What should be in the crate?
He's not a chewer. Okay. Then a little dog bed, a couple blankets. I mean, you could put blankets in there. I don't do water in there, especially because he's not going to be in there for very long. Like I said, you'll feed him his food in there, but I wouldn't keep the bowl in there. Just let him eat, then obviously take it up. You can do, a bone, something for him to chew on if he likes things like that. But other than that, I keep it really simple.
Okay.
Yeah, just less for them to mess with in the crate.
Okay.
Other questions about the crate? Do you feel good about that? So feeding, middle of the day, overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead.
So the afternoon hour, I would do the afternoon hour, and then he comes out of the crate for however long, and then he goes back in for bed. Okay. And these... I know that the bedtime is supposed to be like the same time every single night.
It doesn't have to be.
Okay.
It doesn't. That's just to benefit you, right? So that's just to get him on a routine. So then that way he's used to going and has the same expectation of I go to bed every night at 10:30. So my dog's bedtime is 10, but that's because normally I go to bed at 11. But I've trained my dogs to expect to go to bed at 10. So then that way, if I ever get tired or I have a bad day, my dogs are used to going to bed earlier.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, you can make it whatever time and you can do different times. That's fine. That's just the only time where you're really going to be, you're going to have to be very diligent about not letting him out when he cries.
And for the overnights, well, never mind. I just answered that question. Yeah. So I just have to not let him out until the morning.
Pick a time every morning. Pick a time every morning that like the day doesn't start until this time every morning. So the reason I do that, and you probably won't have to do that. It won't matter so much because he's an older dog that is potty trained, but I do that in case, let's say, right now, my dog at night, who both my dogs sleep through the night. Let's say they start barking. One of them starts barking at 1 a.m. I let him outside to go to the bathroom. They have an upset stomach, whatever. Fine. They go to the bathroom. They come back inside and they go right back in their crate. So, and then let's say maybe at 6 a.m. they start barking again. Fine. You can go outside and go to the bathroom, but you're going right back in your crate until whatever set designated time, right? So in my house, it's 7:30. Like, we don't do anything except for potty breaks between 10 and 7:30. So you don't get fed until then. We're not doing any walk. Nothing happens until then. Obviously, unless the schedule changes on the human's part. But that's just how my brain works. So it works for me. You can do it in whatever way works best for you, as long as you're not ending up with him back in the bed with you.
Okay. It's going to be hard. He sleeps fully. He's a little spoon and he's under the covers.
Like I said, I am okay if you want to do, like, if you want to do this a little bit by little bit, totally fine. Cause it sounds like you're committed, right? I don't really give everybody that option. I really don't, you know?
This is something that I know I need to do. I'm going to do it. I just need to do it.
So then start shifting the perspective in the way, like, cause your energy is going to have that about you when you're putting him in the crate of like, this sucks, right? You like, in order, I know that, you know, you need to do it, but you also need to be having the forefront of your mind, not just that you need to do it, but why you need to do it. Cause right now your energy is very much, I need to do this, but I don't want to, and it sucks. And he's going to pick up on that.
Yeah. No, he will.
So you're going to have to shift. Like, that's the real shift in perspective. Cause you were committed before we ever got on this phone call.
Mm-hmm.
It was a matter of how do I start? And then, I mean, you were going to do it. It's just you doing it with that energy is going to make it harder on everybody.
Yeah. Okay. So with place, mm-hmm. do I get a mat?
Yeah, you can. I like to use those raised beds. At least to start, it's a clear, more defined boundary for our dogs. They can't be half on and half off of it, but you can also teach it with a towel. It's harder just because it's not as clear, but you can use whatever. You can use a regular dog bed. I would say for right now, instead of focusing on place as like the boundary part of place, the impulse control part of place, we're going to focus place as more of like our default resting space, where we're also practicing turning our brain off and accessing this really neutral state of mind. So with that, we're going to do less like actual drills, which you can do some drills. That wouldn't be a bad thing. But the majority of your place work is going to be spent with like tethering him to something heavy. Well, I guess not that heavy. He's only 18 pounds. And then putting the bed near him or within reach of him. So you're not even going to tell him place. You're just going to give him a boundary of the leash, give him the option of what will eventually become place. And then if he lays on it, great. That's the most comfortable option for him anyway. And if not, not a big deal. So it's almost like this baby step of like, you're not allowed on the furniture anymore, and you're preventing him from being able to jump on the couch a bunch, and you having to say no over and over and over again, because that 10th time you might be like, oh, screw it. Fine. Stay up here. Right. But also it allows him to start understanding, this is where I rest. This is where I go to sleep. This is where I chill out. And nobody messes with me here. That's kind of the important part. When he's on place, I don't care if you talk to him, but it can't be baby talking, and it can't be like constant talking. But I don't pet my dogs on place. I mean, at least when they're learning place, there's no excitement on place. Place is for calm. Place is for a brain that is turned off and clocked out.
Okay. And so how often do I do that?
Okay. I'll put it to you this way. Cause I get that question a lot. When my dog was a puppy, both my dogs were puppies. They were not, up until 6 months old, they were either in their crate, tethered near place, or I was actively doing something with them. Right. So I was like actively playing with them, working on, you know, drop it, or on a walk with them, or in the backyard with them. There was not free roam of my house before I taught them and clarified our relationship a little bit more, before I taught them that this is their default. These are their two default resting spaces, crate and place. So there's not, I mean, how much does he normally sleep a day?
I mean, a good amount.
Then that's how much, I mean, if he's going to be sleeping anyway, all you're doing is telling him where to sleep. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's more, what would he be doing if he wasn't on place? Would he be on the couch? Would he be in your lap? Right?
Yeah.
So if those are the options, right, then he should be tethered to place or actively working. You're actively doing something with him, like a walk or whatever, right? Playing with him.
And place should be somewhere different, like drastically different than his crate.
Location wise?
Mm-hmm.
No, my dog's place beds are right next to their crates.
Okay.
Because I only have so much house and I have a lot of dog. But in place can be portable. You can move it into that room if you want to while you're, you know, while you're on your calls. I don't know what he normally does. Is he normally right under your feet while you're on your calls?
Sometimes he's in my lap sleeping. Sometimes he's out there. It just varies.
I mean, you can just do, the only thing that I care about for place is that it's not right next to you. It can't be like literally next to you, because the whole idea of this is that we're trying to teach him how to separate from you, how to not be responsible from you. So like, if this is my couch and this is my TV right here, I've got a crate here, and place beds here. So it's across the room from me. So now that my dogs are older and not tethered, I can see if they leave.
I think this is going to be hard.
Not if he's tethered, because you're not asking anything of him.
Well, just because if he, especially like during the day, if he's tethered, he's going to be crying. And it's hard for me to have him crying if I'm in session.
While you're on. Okay. Then that's not when we do it, right? That's when, you know, maybe when you're in sessions, that's our free time where maybe he can't be in your lap, but he can be anywhere else in the house.
How do I keep him off the couch though?
You can't. Okay. And that's fine. You can't, life isn't perfect. You can't. So, I mean, if that's going to affect your job, then yeah, that we can't do that. So I would just do that outside of those times.
So with place right now, I just need to tether him. How long should I make the tether?
It depends on what you're tethering him to, right? Like if it's a doorknob, then a little longer than, you know, 6 feet, because he's a shorter dog. But if it's something that's like down below on his level, then about, you know, 6 feet, and just make sure that there's also, I'll put it to you this way, make the tether long enough to where he could potentially rest off of place if he wanted to, right? Off of that dog bed. He's not forced onto that bed. He's able to have some choice. And then that way you can kind of recognize when he starts choosing the bed, but it's also not so long that he's able to wrap himself around a bunch of different pieces of furniture and jump on the couch and all of that. So mm-hmm. where he can maybe get like a foot, 2 feet off of place.
Okay.
But that's going to be different in every room.
Yeah.
Based on what you're tethering him to.
So for place right now, it's just going to be tethering him mm-hmm. around the bed or whatever it is.
You can do drills though on place, and we can talk about that too. That's going to be your main way of doing place, because right now it's just giving him a boundary and getting him used to being given boundaries by you. That's just a kind of our whole theme here. And it's going to be messy at first, but everything is. The drills, I'll send you a video on it. It's in our, it'll be in that email, but it's just teaching him what place means. Like when I say the word place, it means go to this bed, and then this is how I release you. And it also means that you have to stay here until I release you. So it's just proofing those things. So getting him used to staying there while you walk maybe in a circle around the bed, getting him used to staying there while you pick up a toy that he likes and put it back down, while you jiggle the front door handle, all of those things. But I keep those like proofing place sessions really short. Like 10 to 15 minutes tops, just because it's a lot for them to take in.
Okay.
Is this a lot for you to take in? That's why I just wanted to start with place and crate, because it's enough.
No, yeah, I think it is. It's going to be good. I just need to figure out how to not be nervous about it, because I need to feel more confident before I do it for him, because he will
be nervous about it. Do it anyway. You know what I mean? Be nervous about it. Fine. But just go through the motions at first. The confidence isn't just going to come one day without doing it. Mm-hmm. You just have to, the reason I said the thing that I did before about that perspective shift is just because you are still only looking at the now part of it and not the why part of it. So whenever you're feeling nervous about it, just make sure you remind yourself, I'm doing this because I don't want him to feel responsible for me. I'm doing this because I eventually want to be able to, you know, explore the world with my dog. I want to have nothing off limits from us. I'm doing this for him, whatever it is, right? But you're going to be nervous. You're going to be ill-equipped for this because this is a new thing. You're learning just like he is, but do it anyway. You don't learn by not doing it.
No, you're right. And I am excited. I think, and he is going to get it. He's a really smart dog. It's just a matter of all right, now we gotta do it.
yeah. I mean, that's the hardest part though, is starting for anything, right? Workout routine, quitting smoking, all of those things. The hardest part mm-hmm. is starting, but that's why it's just little patterns, little habits. They build up to life-changing things for you and him. But it'll be great.
So that brings that episode to an end. And I hope you guys liked it. That is a different style than what you're used to in our podcast. But I hope that it gave you some insightful information and relatable information as well. I believe that was a really powerful conversation. And let us know what you think about it. Feel free to email us at info@thinklikeadogpodcast.com. You can also visit mirroragecanine.com to schedule a consultation with Millie, which you can also give her consent to record the episode or the consultation so it comes out as an episode. And at the Mirror Image Canine website, you can also drop your questions that we will answer during episodes as well. So thank you so much for listening in.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram @ThinkLikeADogPodcast and follow @MirrorImageCanine for training tips. If you have any questions, please reach out to us via email at info@thinklikeadogpodcast.com.